strange things happen in our Christian experiences. Last night at sharp 3 o'clock, for some reason or other, well, I know the reason now, I woke up. And a text of Scripture turned up when I awoke. It is this 10th verse of this 3rd chapter of Philippians, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death. And another verse of Scripture flashed into my mind. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. And those words, the way, the way, the way, the way, got into my soul. I was then wide awake. And 3 words followed them. The way itself, the word and the way, and the work of the way. So I got up. I always keep a bit of paper at the side of my bed and a writing pencil, and I wrote it down. And then I thought I'd turn over and go to sleep. And the Lord said, no, you're not going to sleep. You're going to get the sermon that you're going to preach in the morning. But I said, Lord, I have my sermon advertised, and people know what I'm going to preach on. He says, that's none of your business. You do what you're told. You're my servant. And then suddenly this whole thing opened up to me. And I saw the way itself, its start, its secret, its sufferings, its service, and its severity. And I wrote them down. I said, that's pretty good, Lord. Give me a few more points, I'll be doing well. And then I looked at the Word, the sight of the Word, the shadows that the Word warns about us, the sufferings that He enables us to endure with His promises, and the secret of it all. Is Christ is the way, but Christ is also the Word. And then I came to the work of the way. And the work of the way is a wonderful study. Number one, this way is a narrow way. You don't need to push anybody around, but it's narrow. Because you go in singly. Even in revival meetings, every convert that comes on to the way comes in singly. There may be thousands rushing in, but they are all singled out. Yes. And not only so, there is in this wonderful way, there is the sight, and it's the sight of the cross, and the sufferings, and the secret, they're all there. But in this work of the way, it's an narrow way. It's also a lonely way. But it's also a rejoicing way. And it is also a happy way because of its company. Because we have a person that never leaves us, never forsakes us. Even there's ice on the road, He's still with us. Even it's a snowstorm, He's still with us. Even when it's tough going and the devil seems to be winning, thank God the work of the way is to, at the end, catch up with Jesus and go into his house. One day you'll catch up with the Lord, and the Lord will say, come inside. You've been long enough down there among those people on earth. Just you come up and be with me. My, what a day of rejoicing that'll be when we all see Jesus. I have good word for you, dear ladies. You're going to be all nice looking in heaven. You'll not need any powder puffs nor anything else to paint up your faces. My, you'll be changed. You'll be like the Lord. And you fellas that lost your hair years ago, you'll all have nice hair with a nice wave in it. And we'll all stand and sing in heaven. I have an itch in my feet for heaven. I want to get there. But the Lord said to me, you'll get there in my time. The Lord gave me a promise years ago that he would give me a long life and satisfy me with a lot of years. And people say to me, you're 85 now, says I. Come and see me when I'm 105. And don't talk about it. Oh, thank God for the Lord. So I'm going to preach this sermon that came to me in 5 minutes on my bed. I'd like if all sermons came to me like that. I wouldn't need to do much study. But they don't. What about the way? Isn't this a tremendous text? That I might know him. In what way? The power of his resurrection. That's the greatest power that God ever had and ever will have. The power of the resurrection of his son. My, Satan thought when he had the Lord's body in that tomb that he had won the victory. But he hadn't won any victory. He was about to taste the bitterness of the greatest defeat he ever had. Thank God, up from the grave Christ arose. With a mighty triumph o'er his foes, he arose, the Savior of the world. And thank God today, as we think of that way, it started, praise God, in the resurrection of Christ. But it started with a great secret. The best hidden secret was the Lord's resurrection. Very few saw it. In fact, nobody actually saw it, for Christ was up, but they saw the empty tomb. They looked on emptiness. They didn't see the Lord, but Christ was gone, risen from the dead, alive forevermore. He has the keys of hell and of death. He'll never use them against you. You'll never be locked into hell and darkness if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a great secret in this way. Men try to make up ways to get to God, to get to heaven, and to have a happy eternity, but they can't do that. The secret is with the Lord. And one day in secret, while the world was rushing about, and things were just the same as they always are, Monday through to Sunday. One day, Christ came to your heart. And he did a secret work. He took you from the miry clay. And he set you on the solid rock of ages. And you changed your citizenship. You were then a citizen of this earth and headed for hell. But thank God you got a new passport. A passport stamped with the blood of the Lamb. And a passport that you'll have in your hand when you cross over to the other side. The stamp of the Savior's blood. Isn't it great to be saved? Isn't it a grand thing to have no soul salvation? We used to have a fella came to speak to us as children in the Ballymena Baptist Church, and they always talked about no soul salvation. I thought it was Persil or some sort of thing like that. As a wee boy, I'd say, what's this no soul salvation? And I said to my mother one day, I said, Mommy, what's no soul? She said, do you know what 2 and 2 is? Yes, it's 4. Good boy. You're absolutely right. Well, when that man says that, he's added up the sum. And the answer to the sum is no soul salvation. Great thing to really know. It wouldn't matter if the Pope announced that Ian Paisley was going to hell. It would assure me more and more that I was going to heaven. Said, oh, let me tell you today that we can know ourselves on this way. But there's sufferings on this way. This way is stained with the blood of the Lamb. This way marks the way that Jesus went to the cross. And there in suffering and shame, he gave his life a ransom for the many. I want to tell you something. When the Lord Jesus was dying on the cross, he had your name in his heart. My name from the palms of his hand, eternity will not erase. Impressed in his heart, it remains and marks of indelible grace. When Christ was born in Bethlehem, my name was on his heart. When he died on the cross, my name was on his heart. When he lay in the tomb, my name was on his heart. When he took his place at Father in the Father's house, and on the Father's throne, I was on his lips. And praise God, one day, I'm going to hear him say, enter into your rest. And we'll see him face to face. We'll tell the story, saved by grace. Why? Because we're on the way. But this way is a way of working. God has no loafers in his family. Everyone is a worker, and we should all be working for Jesus, working night and day for the Lord. But there's severity on this road. It's a narrow way. There are things that test us and try us and attempt to kill us, but we'll never die because this is the way of life. Everlasting. It is a place of severity, but a place of rejoicing. And we're nearer heaven than ever we have been before. Why? We're on the way. The power of his resurrection. That's the glory. But the glory is built on the sorrow, the fellowship of his sufferings. It's not the fellowship of the power of his resurrection, but it's the fellowship of his sufferings. There's a nearness when you come to the cross. There is a strangeness when a sinner stands at Calvary, because there's something going on there. The power of his resurrection, no, the fellowship of his sufferings. Think of it, that we have a share, not in the agony of his sufferings, He took all the agony. But we have a share in the glory of the fellowship. Fellows in a ship, Mr. Nicholson used to say, don't mean fellowship for the fallout. But thank God, if we're in the fellowship of the gospel, there's no falling out with God or the church of God. And then there's this powerful thing, being made conformable unto his death. That's a sentence of Scripture I am amazed at. The cross does not conform us to life, but conforms us to death. The people in heaven are all singing about Christ's death, because the soul that sinneth it shall die. But thank God, Christ died for me, and we're celebrating the victory of his death. Every day is A.D. To the believer. It's the year of our Lord. For Jesus is alive forevermore. So much for the way. What about the Word? The Word. Oh, thank God today I got on that way through the Word. The Word, the living Word, the life-giving Word. I had terrible trouble after I was saved about the assurance of salvation. And the devil would come and tell me, you're not saved. And I would get on to the bad ground of not having faith. I remember one day coming home from school. I used to go and stand on a flagstone in one of the streets, for it was there I got absolute assurance that I was a child of God. I was torn with the thought, maybe I wasn't saved. Maybe it was all just something in my mind. And I stood upon an old flagstone. And I said, I'm not coming off this flagstone until I'm sure I'm saved. And the Lord said, you can't be anything else but sure. For if you don't be sure, you're making me a liar. And I am him who is the way. Listen to him, the way. The truth, and then the life. And I said, hallelujah. And I used to go back to that flagstone and stand on it and shout, hallelujah. The people said I was crazy. My, they're the crazy people. I'm the wise man. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Why? Because I've got the Word of God for it. It's his Word, his precious Word. The Word of the way. The shadows disappear. I know the sufferings of Christ are finished, gone forever. And thank God, I'm nearer heaven than ever I have been before. The Word of the way. My father used to say, Ian, if you're ever troubled about your soul, go to the Bible. And you'll find the promises are still in the book. They're in the book from the eternity when God wrote them before all time was started. They'll be there the day they open them at the great judgment from God's throne. And thank God they'll be there from all eternity. I'm looking forward to the day I enter the library of heaven and take out the book of life and look down and see my name. Is my name written there on the page bright and fair? Tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Of course it is. And I'll not only see it in the book, but I'll be like him. I will see him as he is. Could we be offered anything greater by God than likelessness to his sinless Son? Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. But there's not only the word of the way, there's the work of the way. And the work of the way is to get others on to the way. That's our job. To get those that are traveling hell's way onto heaven's way. How do we win them? We win them by praying. We win them by pleading the promises. But we also win them by witnessing to them. And what we need is a whole multitude of witnessers witnessing day in and day out to the fact that Jesus Christ can save their souls and bring them to the promised land. What rejoicing in his presence when a loved one comes home, following Jesus in the way. I like that about the people that were healed by Christ. They followed him in the way. Once you're saved, you're a follower of Christ forever. You're tied on to him in the knot of everlasting life and everlasting perfection. He is yours, and I am his forever and forever. So at 3 o'clock this morning, there was I. And of course, I didn't start shouting, or my wife would shout at me. So I just said my hallelujahs quietly. And the Lord says, I've something to say to you. See that sermon you're going to preach down there on the Raven Hill Road this morning? You're not preaching it. You're preaching this sermon. So there is someone here that God's soul cares for your soul. That at 3 o'clock he wrote the preacher and he gave him an outline and warmed his heart with the warmth of the gospel. Oh, sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotions. Do not check the falling tear. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Don't leave this house today until you're dead on sure and absolutely certain that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I was thinking of C.H. Spurgeon on that cold, cold, snowy day going into that little Methodist church because he could get no farther in the snow. 5 people in the church. Preacher didn't turn up. So a man got into the pulpit and he couldn't preach. And after 5 minutes, he was speechless. And then he looked down at Spurgeon and he says, young man, you look awful. And Spurgeon said, I am awful. I'm a sinner. He says, young man, look, look, look to Jesus. And Spurgeon said, I looked and he looked at me. And I was gloriously saved. You know, 5 preachers turned up and claimed they were the preacher that day. And Spurgeon said they were all liars. Not one of them was the preacher. I never found who the preacher was. But I found that the preacher's Savior and my Savior are the same. Wonderful thing. I went to that place some years ago, and it was falling in. We Methodist church, it was just a wreck. And I said to the man I was with, I said, I want to climb through a window. I want to see exactly where Spurgeon came to the Lord. I went through that window and we got in and we sat there. And I said, I'm going to offer a prayer. I'm going to pray that God will get some Christians together and they'll rebuild this little place and they'll start preaching the gospel. 5 years afterwards, I went back. The church was built. It was dedicated. And I wrote in the book that I had prayed there 5 years before, and God had answered prayer. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. That was the best, the verse the old preacher preached on. Oh, what a man came, what a fish was caught that day when C.H. Spurgeon, the greatest of all English preachers, was born of the Spirit and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check the falling tear. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for me. You trust him now in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. We thank thee for these words you gave us to speak here today. And may they be applied to some hearts and minds and souls. And Lord, make us a soul winner. Help us to love the dying souls of men. And make this church a place where thousands of people will be born of the Spirit of God. Hear this, our prayer, for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.